Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Thursday, August 11, 2016. Civil society groups react to a possible third-party force in South Sudan.
The letter is mainly around calling AUPC Security Council to act on the call for the protection force deployment to South Sudan. And the letter specifically looks at time bound.
And South Sudan has cancelled passports of former senior government officials.
So I'm telling anybody who is a South Sudanese citizen holding a passport and joining a rally calling for South Sudan to be taken over by the UN, that person will lose his or her passport. I've already lost their passports on Monday.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A regional bloc, IGAD, and African Union and United Nations are trying to find a solution, including considering a proposal to send a regional protection force to complement the UN mission in South Sudan. From Nairobi, VOA's Jill Craig speaks with analysts about whether or not they believe South Sudan's August peace agreement is dead.
Following 20 months of violence in South Sudan, a peace agreement was signed in August 2015 that was intended to stop fighting between the rival forces of President Salva Kiir and his former first vice president Riek Machar's SPLM-IO. But disagreements continued, and new violence engulfed Juba in July, although a tenuous ceasefire is holding in the capital city. Within this environment of instability, many are wondering whether the peace agreement is even relevant at this point. SPLM-IO acting representative to Kenya, Lam Juak, says Kiir's forces are still targeting Riek Machar, a major reason why he believes the peace agreement is on shaky footing.
Peace agreement is in coma. He's in ICU.
A request for a response from Kiir's spokesman went unanswered. Retired Sudanese ambassador and UN official Noureldine Sati expresses hope South Sudan can still pick up the pieces and the August 2015 peace agreement can be salvaged.
But of course, patients do not stay for too long in an ICU. They have to come out of it sooner than later. Preferably not to the graveyard, of course, to come back to normal life.
But Steve McDonald, global fellow at the Washington-based Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, is skeptical the 2015 peace deal will ever know a normal life, given the July outbreak of violence in Juba and Machar's subsequent departure.
Even though international players, including the regional players, IGAD and the AU, are trying to pull things back together again, I have very little hope that the peace agreement between Machar and Kiir can ever work.
Sati says the security situation must be stabilized in South Sudan before meaningful progress can take place. And in the interest of the country and its long-term prospects, he says Kiir and Machar must reconcile their differences.
But as I always say, security measures alone are not enough. We have to find political solutions to problems, as we all know.
Horn of Africa research associate at London-based Chatham House, Ahmed Soliman, urges South Sudan's economy also be prioritized because it affects security and political issues. He references the more than 600% inflation rate in the country during the past year.
You've seen people, civil servants and others, not being paid for many months, growing costs of water and fuel, and even within the protection of civilian sites, people struggling very much to be able to feed themselves, and a lack of payment for the armed forces has contributed to unrest and kind of escalating criminality in Juba and elsewhere.
And with respect to the people with guns, former British ambassador to Sudan, Alan Goltie, says a solution will likely not be found until they acknowledge a better way forward.
And at the moment, there's no alternative. If you put down your gun, where are you going to find employment or income or a way of sustaining your family?
The country now waits to learn whether the UN Security Council will adopt a resolution circulated by the United States, authorizing 4,000 peacekeepers for Juba. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
A coalition of South Sudanese civil society organizations called the Transitional Justice Working Group says it welcomes the deployment of a regional protection force, but says the purpose of the force should be clearly defined. As Waki Wudu reports for VOA from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, the group is also calling for the immediate cessation of hostilities in parts of the country.
The coalition says all fighting must stop between government and SPLA-I forces, and both sides must guarantee unrestricted access and safe passage to all humanitarian actors across the country. Coalition coordinator Amanya Joseph says the group also wants the government to guarantee the return of former First Vice President Riek Machar to Juba. The coalition supports the deployment of a regional protection force in South Sudan and urge the government not to buy time.
The regional government should consider the interests of the people of South Sudan first rather than their regional interest, because we believe that there's just geopolitics in this situation of South Sudan, that this conflict is not only affecting South Sudan, it's even affecting the region. But in approaching this, that means the region has to be very careful in how to handle the situation of South Sudan.
Joseph says there should be a clear exit strategy for the regional force, and parties must agree on its composition and funding.
The security doctrine that they should close should not be based on that they will protect citizens, and at the end of the day, if they go and meet a vaccine, which is going to be a big challenge for the country, they should rather come to make sure that they establish and support the existing structure of the National Army of South Sudan, so that when they will be leaving, the National Army will be able to take up from where they are.
The coalition also is calling on IGAD partners and the African Union to continue with the process of establishing a hybrid court to ensure there is justice and accountability for crimes committed during the 2.5-year conflict as outlined in the August 2015 peace agreement. Last year, the ENAF project warned that regional interests were harming the peace process in South Sudan. Meanwhile, another coalition of 21 South Sudanese civil society organizations wrote to the African Union Peace and Security Council, calling on the council to quickly support the IGAD resolutions passed last week on South Sudan, which include the deployment of a regional protection force to the country. Edmond Yakani represents the 21 civil society groups.
The letter is mainly around calling AU Peace and Security Council to act on the call for the protection force deployment to South Sudan. And the letter specifically look at time, that we are time-bound.
Yakani says the civil society groups are urging the African Union to move quickly on deploying the regional force and ensure that negotiations with the government are not prolonged. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Nairobi.
Members of the South Sudanese in diaspora are urging the UN Security Council to unanimously support the deployment of a third-party force with a strong mandate to protect civilians in South Sudan. At a protest near the United Nations headquarters today, diaspora leaders say South Sudanese civilians have paid a heavy price during the ongoing violence, and they believe an outside force could not only save lives, but foster a sense of security in the capital, Juba. Ayen Bior has more from Washington.
This is the eighth protest in 4 years that South Sudanese native Peter Quell has helped organize to urge the international community to help bring peace to his country. But Quell says today's protest feels different. He believes that time is running out, so he and other protesters are demanding the Security Council take action.
People feeling very urgent call. There are urgent call among the people are here.
That urgency prompted Quell to fly across the country early this morning from the northwestern city of Seattle, Washington, to meet up with fellow protesters in New York City. He says there is no excuse for further inaction on the humanitarian crisis unfolding in South Sudan. Along with an arms embargo and targeted sanctions, the protesters are demanding the UN Security Council unanimously approve the deployment of an outside force to protect civilians in Juba. Quell dismisses claims made by Kiir administration officials that the troops will undermine the sovereignty of South Sudan.
In fact, there is no sovereignty. If there is that, then they should protect their people. If they don't protect their people, then what is the point? What is the point? We don't want to leave the land empty when people die, all of them. So the idea that, oh, these people, they come and take over our country is not right. There is no government that protecting people. The human life become like a second life, not like a good. Everybody, every day people die on the street of Juba. Unknown gunmen, direct killing. So it's useless.
Ambassador Joseph Mo Malok, the deputy permanent representative of South Sudan to the United Nations, says the protesters should move with caution as they call on the UN to intervene in South Sudan's political matters.
If they are a citizen of South Sudan and they want the UN to intervene in their country, they should know the details and they should prepare for the outcome. They should know the countries that UN intervene are not in peace today. Maybe they managed to remove the regime in those countries, but they did not bring peace. So they should be mindful and know exactly what they are calling for. They should know the details of it.
But one protester says he knows exactly what he's protesting about today. Years of fighting, thousands of civilians' death, and a security situation that has triggered widespread food insecurity has led Angelo Cassiano to New York to speak out on behalf of hundreds of thousands of civilians in South Sudan who have fallen victim to the political power struggles in their country. Cassiano, who is a representative of the Western Bahr al-Ghazal community here in the U.S., says the soldiers in South Sudan have no interest in protecting civilians.
So we need that a mediator, someone that can come in and help, and help the civilian first. That's our first objective. We are not politicians. We are nothing. We are a human being. We feel the pain of our own people. UN has been there for us during this civil war. And it's still there for us right now. So we need that continuation of that support, and we need to save lives.
Cassiano says the third force is desperately needed to protect civilians and that the suggestions that the UN is trying to take over South Sudan are unfounded.
So they should not twist the words around and try to make it like we are the one who wants to sell the country out. We are not. We are for the civilians. So we need that peacekeepers to save our civilians first. And then let the peace process go.
The protesters have sent a letter to the UN Security Council today, reiterating their support for the deployment of forces in South Sudan. They want targeted sanctions, an arms embargo, a cantonment of forces at least 25 miles from the borders of Juba, and a repeal of the 28 states enacted by President Kiir. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior. In Washington,
a South Sudanese diplomat says his government has cancelled six passports of senior former government officials. Gordon Boy says the passports were cancelled because the officials are calling on the UN to take over South Sudan. Boy says any South Sudanese campaigning for UN to take over the country is committing what he calls treason.
So I'm telling anybody who is a South Sudanese citizen holding a passport and joining a rally calling for South Sudan to be taken over by the UN, that person will lose his or her passport. Paganamum, Majagagor and Joseph Bakosoro have already lost their passports on Monday.
Based on what? I mean, which laws are you using for revoking people's passports?
It's not written. The same laws even Americans are using. Because in the United States, if you join ISIS, you join Al-Qaeda, and you betray the United States, they revoke their passport. But, for example, Edward Snowden, who is now in Moscow, his passport was revoked by the American government.
Yeah,
so if somebody is calling against South Sudan, that is a treason according to South Sudan Penal Code.
Let me bring you back to your South Sudan Diplomatic Act. Where is it written in the South Sudan Diplomatic Act or in the Constitution or in the Immigration Act that if somebody is expressing his or her own opinion, the government should revoke their passports?
It is not an opinion, John. It is a crime. It is in the South Sudan Penal Code. When you turn against South Sudan and you commit a crime against the state, that is a treason.
Let me take you on that again. Is your Constitution having any article or clause in it where it says that there is a freedom of speech?
Yes, there is freedom of speech. But there is no freedom for you to call for government, for you to take over the government. That is to topple the government of South Sudan and take it over so that South Sudan will be ruled by UN. That freedom of speech does not exist even in the kingdom of God, let alone United States.
From what you're saying now, it sounds like you are stopping people from expressing their own constitutional rights.
No, I'm not stopping people. If you want to express a constitutional right which is guaranteed by law, you can only demonstrate saying that we want the UN to agree with the government, you see, to protect civilians. But when you go and tell the UN to take over the leadership of the South, which is illegal because according to the UN Charter, South Sudan is recognized country. We are one of the nation states of the United Nations.
But you are a nation state that is killing its own people. That's why people
are
asking.
We are not killing our own people. We are fighting rebellion. We are fighting people, outlaws, criminals.
Ambassador Bwai, I remember some years back you recorded yourself. In the video, you said you have toppled the government of President Salva Kiir. You have not been punished for that. Today you are saying South Sudanese should not rally in front of the United Nations to express their feelings about what is happening in South Sudan.
Listen here, there's a difference for you to fight against the government so that you lead that government, and a difference for you to call for a foreign power to topple the government and colonize it. In 2011, I made my own video saying that I took over. I'm now the leader of South Sudan, elected by parliament. That one is nothing wrong with it. I did not call for UN to take over South Sudan. So these things are very different. Even Riek Machar did not call for UN to take over South Sudan and colonize it for 5 years, as Bagana Mum is saying, John.
But in
these
your,
things are completely different.
Yeah, in your video, you said you are the head of South Sudan. You have toppled President
Kiir. I said I was elected by parliament. I said what I said in the video, and you have to look it again. I said that the parliament impeached the president and nominated me. This is what I said in the video, and it was just sarcasm. It was a joke. If you take up arms against the state, it is a crime. It is not a freedom of speech, John. In 2011, I committed a crime against the state, but the state issued an amnesty to forgive me. The same thing was done to Riek Machar by the President Salva Kiir and to all the rebels that fought the government. But now, for these people who are now trying to commit a new crime, calling for UN to take over South Sudan and rule it for 5 years, this is a very serious crime, my friend, a very serious treason crime.
How many passports have you cancelled so far?
We cancelled 5.
Can you give us the names of the people you
cancelled
their passports?
Mum, we cancelled Joseph Bokosoro. We cancel Majaga Gott, and we cancel other two.
Which are the other two?
Two, I will tell you in the long run.
That's Ambassador Gordon Bwai. Gordon Bwai is in charge of diaspora affairs at the South Sudanese Embassy here in the United States. He was talking to me from Fairfax, Virginia, this past hour. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at internal displaced people in the former Western Equatoria state. That story is coming up next.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan. Or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what's the most important value that your parents taught you?
They taught me to respect everyone. This makes me to live well with any person.
How to live together with people and how to prepare myself for the future. For example, I was taught how to cook by my grandmother. So I stayed with my grandmother and he taught me how to cook. So it has helped me because I don't always stay with my family. So that's the most important value my parents have taught me.
Being someone who might be honest in my life, even in our daily life, it's very important anyway, because in these days many people may not be honest because of their interests.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Residents and civil society activists in the Imatong state capital, Torit, are also expressing support for the deployment of regional protection force in South Sudan. The activists say such force will protect civilians and end killings across the country should fighting flare up again. They are also urging the IGAD countries to move quickly to specify the mandate of the force and the length of time they expected to stay in South Sudan. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Torit.
Civil society activists here say deploying a regional force is one of the best ways to end the conflict and save lives. Abel Simon Ohuro heads the civil society network in Imotong State. He says since the government has failed to protect civilians, the country needs a third-party force to create a buffer zone between the SPLA and SPLA-IO.
According to the traditional amended constitution of the Republic of South Sudan 2011, that is stated the right of the citizens, and it stated also the obligations of the government is to protect the citizen. And we look at it that there is a failure on that side. And if there's a failure on that side, what do you do? And we, the civil society, since we have already collected the data, we welcome the idea of the third party army to come in the Republic of South Sudan and help us and help the citizen not to be butchered again.
But Abel says once the force are deployed, it must also respect the constitution of the Republic of South Sudan.
Though we welcome the idea of the third party army to come to South Sudan, but we need them to discuss about the mandate. How long are they going to be in the Republic of South Sudan? What do they want to do?
Thomas Lodofiko, executive director of the group South Sudan Youth Initiative for Change, also supports deployment of a third force in South Sudan and urges the government to cooperate with the regional force.
So as a civil society organization, we welcome this development. As a civil society organization, we said, our government, we thank you for this. And we also appreciate the IGAD for passing the resolutions. This resolution will help us to protect the civilians, and will also protect the humanitarian workers in South Sudan.
Lodofiko says South Sudanese leaders should be focused on how to save the lives of ordinary citizens.
We want to see things happening that can help the local people on the ground, that will help them to access the life, actually, because this is a human rights. If you are blocking me for accessing something, what will I do?
Dorit resident James Anthony says he supports any decision that saves the lives of South Sudanese. He's speaking in Arabic. He says if a regional protection force will help South Sudan's leaders implement the peace agreement they signed last year, it should be deployed immediately.
Let them come so that those citizens who fled the country due to the violence may return knowing that there is peace in the country.
Information Minister Michael Makwe said yesterday that a draft resolution proposed by the U.S. government being presented to the United Nations Security Council on the renewal of the UNMISS mandate, which expires on Friday, undermines South Sudan's sovereignty. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
Internal displaced persons from Lirongu Payam of Yambio County in Budue State say they will not return to their villages until peace is restored in the area. IDPs are grateful to WFP for distributing food to them, but WFP officials say farmers should try to produce their own food so that South Sudanese can have enough to eat. Gift Friday has more for VOA from Yambio.
WFP distributed food this week to more than 10,000 internal displaced persons who fled their homes in Lirongu Payam nearly a month and a half ago after fighting broke out between local vigilantes and government troops. Rosetta Constantino says the food she received will feed her three children since she does not have money to buy food from the market. Speaking in Arabic, she says IDPs are hoping that peace returns to Lirongu Payam.
Nina Kamani Gabiseli, Kev.
We are also praying so that peace returns to Lirongu, because all of us in Lirongu have been chased. All the houses were burned, and house utensils are no longer there. So we ran here and are now staying here with relatives.
Simon Kamis, another IDP from Lirongu, says he finds it difficult to return home because although the fighting has ended, he does not feel safe. He's speaking in Arabic. Kamis says he's waiting for the government to put an end to the fighting in his village.
For now, we don't have a way to return to our places. The government has power to defeat these armed vigilantes, as we have been hearing. And if all those vigilantes surrender themselves to the government, this will be good news for us to return to our areas.
John Martin is a community leader from Momboi Buma in Lirongu Payam. He's speaking in Arabic. Martin says the IDPs are grateful for the food ratio they received this week, but he wants other aid agencies to distribute cooking pots.
Those food items are not enough because I did not see other things like saucepans, jerrycans, water jugs. I only saw water buckets.
Stephen Mosere works for the WFP in the former Western Equatoria state.
WFP, of course, we are distributing food. Other agencies are contributing non-food items like plastic sheets, buckets, soap, just the things that are needed to meet the basic needs of these people who have fled their homes in Lirango.
Mosere says the food being distributed is meant for emergency situations and will not be provided on a monthly basis. 2 weeks ago, the Budo State Minister of Local Government and Law Enforcement, Jackson Ezekiel, ordered WFP officials to distribute the food in its stores in Yambio to hungry IDPs. Mosere says WFP is working with farmers in Yambio to produce more food to avoid relying on aid agencies for help.
Our main focus here in Western Equatoria is to help farmers produce more, offer them an initial market, but basically it's to help increase production because we know this area is very fertile and we would like to do everything in our power to help people to produce more because this is not a food deficit region. WFP is not only about food distribution.
The Budo State Local Government Minister says he's impressed WFP's response and says the government hopes to end the instability in Yambio County.
There's nowhere in Africa or in the world that the barrel of a gun is a solution to everything. It must be a peaceful solution. All wars that have been fought all over the world, at the end, people must sit around the table and agree. And that is also what we have as a government of Budo State. We are looking forward for a peaceful solution.
Dozens of people were killed and thousands others displaced when fighting intensified between armed youth and government forces in Mirongo Payam in late June. Gift Friday, VOA News, Yambio.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. Regional bloc IGAD, the African Union, and the United Nations are trying to find a solution to South Sudan's 2.5-year conflict. Under consideration is a proposal to send in a regional protection force to complement the UN mission in South Sudan. SPLM-IO acting representative to Kenya, Lam Jock, says President Kiir's forces are still targeting former First Vice President Riek Machar, a major reason why he believes the peace agreement is still on shaky ground. Jock says the peace deal is in a coma. A request for a response from President Kiir's spokesman went unanswered. Retired Sudanese ambassador and UN official Nureldeen Sati expresses hope that South Sudan can still, in his words, pick up the pieces and the August 2015 peace agreement can be salvaged. He said patients do not stay for long in an ICU, adding they have to come out of it sooner rather than later. Residents and civil society activists in the Imatong state capital, Torit, support deploying a regional protection force in South Sudan. They believe such a force will protect civilians and end the killings across the country should fighting flare up again. They're urging IGAD to move quickly to specify the mandate of the force and to say how long they're expected to stay. That's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Tong Tong by Sweet J. We've been listening to Sweet J singing in her native Zande language about the problems of LRA. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.